This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Welcome to the My Old Man Said podcast. It's something for the weekend time. Joining me to discuss all matters Hammers, Mr. Chris Bird. Welcome.
Hello, mate. You good?
Still groggy from a night out about 3:30 in the morning with about eight Ajax fans, big chaps. I was the guide, basically, to keep them going through the night after that wonderful 4-0 win.
And it was wonderful. Wonderfully easy as well.
Yeah, it's almost like we didn't have to break through the gears. We decided to go one gear in the second half just to get rid of them. But apart from that, I think there's bigger tests ahead, isn't there?
Bigger tests ahead
in Lille first, which they were, I think, second favourites after us. So it's a real head-to-head one. And they have a slight advantage with the Villa being at home first. And then a hothouse, unpredictable potentially, in the semi, if we get through the Lille test against Olympiacos. And Fenerbahce, I've been tipping from the start as a threat. And Olympiacos performed a great Houdini act in the first knockout round. 4-1 down. They lost 4-1 at home against Tel Aviv. And then it looked like they were finished for this year in the tournament, and they managed to win the away leg 6-1. So
that's bonkers, isn't it?
Who knows what's in store if they get into the semis and Villa are there. It would mean that we would stay in Greece. I think I might move out there for a month and just hang out there until the final.
Live on Metze for a month.
Yeah.
Mom's Metze month. Doesn't that have a nice ring to it?
And however, as always, this episode of the My Old Man Said podcast is sponsored by Green King Sport, where football is more than a game. The league season is entering the business end and Green King Sport venues are showing every single televised Aston Villa fixture over the run-in. With more than 900 sports pubs across the UK, it doesn't matter where you're based, you can catch every single minute of the action. Football is best enjoyed with your mates, so if you're not at the ground this month, get a text in the group chat and head to your local Green King Sports venue to catch the game. Don't forget to download the Green King Sports app to enjoy exclusive competitions and discounts whenever there's a game on. Right, another team who also had a resounding win in Europe, overturning, they were 1-0 down in the first leg against SC Freiburg and obliterated them at the London Stadium 5-0. So they'll be fired up and ready to rock and roll against Villa. Also big win for the coefficient as well in terms of opening up that fifth place in the Premier League.
It was indeed. Well done, lads.
Get into the Champions League, so West Ham doing us a big favour there. Now, it's tricky because West Ham, I still think they're a formidable team on their day. It's just a matter of them being at it on the day, which, I mean, mm-hmm. They're the most random team in terms of results. It's hard to pick you know, who is the real West Ham? Because the last home game before the Freiburg game, they drew 2-2 at home against Burnley. Then they beat Everton 3-1. They beat Brentford 4-2, suggesting there's goals in the team. And then away at Forest, they get beat 2-0 before that in mid-February.
Hard to pick. And a weird team, you know, they're not doing, I wouldn't say they're in a bad position in the league. And, you know, the third consecutive European quarter final on the bounce. And yet the fans are still calling for Moyes' head. It feels like not all is good behind the scenes there.
Yeah, I mean, going to their recent form and their exploits in Europe, I am comparing them to Villa. Villa, and looking at the way that Emery has this ethos of control and taking the emotion out, there's something systematic about Villa. We saw it at Ajax. We saw it very much at the Villa Park game. Do you think West Ham are a bit more a team that does play on emotion and the occasion?
I think so, especially at home.
As systematic as Villa are in terms of having a set methodology of play.
Yeah, I think they're a highly functional team. You know, when it works, it works well. When it doesn't work, it goes horribly wrong. Which
I think they're playing more in the skin of the pans, aren't they? Like they can
go
to Arsenal and beat Arsenal 2-0. And then, I mean, at home they get beat 6-0 by Arsenal. You couldn't get two results.
They beat Man United, which we didn't. So it's you just never know what team's going to turn up with West Ham.
They beat Spurs 2-1 at Spurs' stadium as well. So they can literally beat anybody on their night. And as we've seen, you know, they won a European final last year. Thank God we beat Ajax, by the way, because going to West Ham in the tournament that they actually won the season before, Or we'd have got dogs abuse. Well, the away fans would have.
Yeah, but it's ultimately 4th v 7th, which means you'd expect a tight game. This isn't two teams that are, you know, poles apart.
Oh yeah, this is massive danger game. The problem is, and this is the headline, is John McGinn is missing for this game. And this is, for all the reasons we just said, this is the one where you need McGinn in to have a chance, because we haven't won there in 8 encounters. We haven't won away at West Ham since, how old were you? 12?
I can't remember.
No, it's since April 2011.
Yeah.
And we've played, as I said, eight trips since. No joy. It's always been difficult. And recently, I mean, until we beat them this season, they had been a bogey team. You have to go back to the...
Yeah.
It was Cleverley that scored, wasn't it?
With it was about 1-10, wasn't it? I think it was something, and that was obviously
that
included
under
us going down.
Under Sherwood, where we beat them after we beat Everton in, I think it was back-to-back home games, and that really sealed the deal, so we could concentrate on the FA Cup final, which didn't really pay out very well in the end. But this is a tough place to go. They're a team that I think is kind of wrong in terms of our setup, in terms of not having McGinn as well. I mean, the way we got bullied by Spurs gives me dread as well going into this game. Looking at recent form, I don't know if this is a good guide or not, because they're so unpredictable. You don't know what West Ham you're going to get. In terms of last six games across the board, I mean, Villa are actually 5th in the form table, despite the Spurs. This is 4 wins and 2 losses. West Ham down 13, won 2 out of their last 6 games, 3 losses, although 3 positive results in their last 3. Looking at their last 6 homes, they are 11th in terms of form home team, 1-2, drawn 3, lost 1. But what are statistics worth? I mean, Villa are, in the last 6 away games, the 4th best away team, 1-4, drawn 1, lost 1. But you have to look at the detail of who's available, and the McGinn suspension is huge. Kamara you would like probably for this game as well.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing. With Kamara, you've got the Torres coming in, did help replace some of the loss there in terms of the whole building out the back.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
With McGinn, he's one of the 3 irreplaceables, as far as I'm concerned, alongside Watkins and Martinez.
We don't have another player like it. Very few sides do, actually, but you know, he's quite a unique player.
Yeah, in terms of individually, though, but we discussed this previously, we lost a lot of bite in the team in terms of character when Buendia went, when Mings went. And it's when you look around, it's hard to find anybody like that, because McGinn was obviously another element of that.
Watkins
is a kind of a quieter guy. Bailey, Diaby, Tillemans.
He's just experienced, but I don't necessarily think
not
he's
really
loud,
a leader of men. Tenacity, is it? This is
no.
And the defence as well. Quite your Torreses, your Longleys are more. They organise, but it's not as if they're getting in the referee's face. They're not, you know, winding up players, etc.
No. It's a game, I think, that sort of, you know, obviously Konsa would have had the, you know, the midweek game off because he was suspended, obviously, for Ajax, which, I, as I think we said on the preview for that one, if he was going to miss a game, that one was probably a good one to give him a bit of a rest in.
Yeah.
And I think you need him back on really, really good form, and you need him at his absolute best for this one. And he's going to have to probably step up and be a really senior player.
Yeah. And because he's been a bit shonky.
Since he came back, yeah, his form's not been there, which is strange because that's when Southgate picks him for the England squad.
Well, yeah. But I mean, Southgate, I mean, I'm going to jump on the bandwagon, I think, of him not knowing what he's doing, because to come out with a quote to say how Henderson has transformed Ajax since his... been in the team, when what they've won one out of, is it 8 or 9?
Yeah,
since he's, whenever he's played.
I mean, maybe he's made them better than they were, and they were atrocious. But it's like, if that's him making a difference, and you think, good lord, that could have
been.
Yeah,
but to only
really
actually be in one win in his 8 or 9 games is, because I was thinking, oh yeah, maybe he's contributed to them steaming out of like the bottom 3 or 4 where they were to fifth place. But if he's only been in one win, played in one win, that's hardly contributed to any dramatic surge.
No.
Has it?
Yeah, it's
anyway, we are digressing. The form, etc. I think it goes out a window here because we've been doing a lot better away, which is encouraging. But with McGinn, if we had no McGinn for Forest, maybe Fulham, I would be feeling better than against Wolves and West Ham, put it that way. I just think they're just going to be more physical games.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a huge
West
swing.
Ham traditionally are big. They're quite a physically big team, aren't they? Especially midfield, when you've got people like Suchek, etc.
Yep. So anyway, let's get into the West Ham side of things and threats. They've pretty much decided on playing Bowen as their furthest forward.
Mm-hmm.
He is a centre forward, and he's kind of rising to the task more and taking the responsibility on, because he would play off the front man. But Antonio is very much bench material at the moment, isn't he?
Yeah, and he sort of blows hot and cold, I guess.
But I think with Bowen, you've got a dynamic threat in terms of his pace, and he's always on the shoulder, he's always busying about, and I think he's a bit of a nightmare to play against.
Yeah, and he works relentlessly, doesn't he? Remember in that game at Villa Park earlier in the season, now, he obviously scored a very sort of fluky deflected goal, but even though they lost 4-1, he still put in a really good shift, and he's a real threat.
Yeah, he's a player that has made a massive improvement since he's come to West Ham, because I saw him play in the flesh when I was up at Hull once in the Baggies game. It was 0-0, he looked so left-footed that I thought, he can't be a successful Premier League player if he's so abundantly one-footed. It's like, how can he be a top-level footballer and only be one-footed? But he's made dramatic transformations, and you know, he is somebody you don't actually like playing against now, and he's done really well in Europe as well, and being a big player for them, scored 14 goals this season as well, which is not too shabby.
Well, in a side that have been a bit, shall we say, clunky, hot and cold, whatever you want to call it, they're not been
hit and miss. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. But they are scoring goals at the moment. They still concede goals. It's whether we may feel that actually going after West Ham is the best form of defence in this type of game.
Yeah, well,
I certainly don't want us to turn up with 5 at the back like we did against.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Tottenham.
Because you've got a situation where they've actually, Ward-Prowse didn't have a real defined role. Well, from my casual monitoring of, you know, what West Ham have been, how they've been playing and setting up, because I remember doing this preview on the West Ham game previously, and Ward-Prowse was playing in, you know, different midfield positions.
Deeper, wasn't he?
But he seems to be very much front and centre in that midfield now, and a lot's going through him. And Paqueta, he was out, wasn't he, for a little while?
Yep.
And now he's back. And in terms of injuries, they're in a nice position when they're considering, you know, they want to obviously go hard in Europe. And you're glad they're not around us in terms of points, because that would probably intensify their need for this game.
Yeah, I wonder if sort of Europe's their priority almost now. They're thinking their best chance of really achieving something is probably going to be in the Europa League. Although, you know, they're still sat in a pretty decent league position, which kind of means it's weird. I don't see why the fans are so disgruntled with them, to be honest. I don't know what their expectations are.
Because they're currently sitting Europa Conference League place.
Yeah.
Which could be upgraded to a Europa League place. So if you're West Ham, I mean, it's almost like us in the... as in the 90s, where we were getting frustrated through Doug Ellis's lack of ambition, but we were finishing sixth and playing European football, and, you know, would get knocked out and then we'd be in it the next season. But that was like the almost got boring in terms of the level, and we wanted to kick on. And maybe, but this happens very fast for West Ham, because West Ham were flunking about all over the place.
Well, they were only about a place, was it, above us the year we stayed up on the final day, or a couple of places? They weren't.
Yeah.
And they were very similar to us. We kind of both had a fairly even arc, and they kind of pushed on. Obviously, they're the current Conference League holders, so they had an amazing season last year to win a trophy for the first time in decades.
They're only 4 points behind United. They're 12 points behind us. If they win, they would be 9 points. Could you imagine them catching us? Do you think that's a possibility?
You'd hope not. I think you just got to get through this run of games without McGinn. My longer-term hope is that he gets that bit of rest. Obviously, he's going to go away with Scotland anyway, but he comes back and he's absolutely laser-focused for the running.
I mean, devil's advocate, if we don't win any of these games, because obviously one of them's away at Manchester City.
Mm-hmm. And Wolves is always difficult.
You could make an argument that West Ham and United could pull in some ground on us.
Yeah, right, well, you'd expect them to.
You'd be looking at the league table after that Manchester City game. It could look very different.
Yeah, it could.
That is the concern here. I mean, it'd be a huge result, actually, to beat West Ham off the back of what happened against Spurs and the McGinn situation.
Agreed.
Really huge. But I don't see how we can control a game so easily now without McGinn being... he's almost like the cleaner-upper. He can occupy and frustrate opponents to break their momentum completely, and that is the big problem here.
And he's the one who helps you retain the ball, because all of a sudden you can play through the lines to him with his back to goal, and he will turn. I don't necessarily think Irogbenham's going to do that, or Louise is quite a similar player. And McGinn is a very, very unique player. He gets you through a sort of a congested midfield, and his distribution's got better and better, I think, as he's obviously the longer he's played under Emery. You know, he's really grown into his role. And, you know, I remember the year, it was during the lockdown period, wasn't it, when McGinn, was it, broke his leg? And we really, really missed him in that period. Of course, he didn't get himself back, did he, for that League Cup final against City just before lockdown. But I remember that period where he was out, it was a gaping hole in the midfield.
So how are you replacing him?
I think you've got to try and flood the midfield here. I don't think you can go five at the back and try and manage games that way.
I'd like to see Tielemans in the middle, not out on the bloody wing.
I think he'll come in. It might be that they try and keep it quite solid, because I don't even know if Ramsey will play.
Yeah, I think
Ajax showed that we could go, you know, Diaby, Bailey up front with Watkins as a three, and go, right, they're the three we want to hurt teams with, and we're just going to have to be a little bit more pragmatic in the middle and not sort of let
So that would leave
forward.
Louise, Tielemans...
and Irogbenham.
Yeah, the alarm bells of Irogbenham, I mean, when he's come on as a sub, you know, good tackle here, good block here.
Neat and tidy.
But when we saw him start at Ajax, he didn't really impose himself on the game. And I thought, this is a bit lukewarm in terms of what he should be doing here.
I mean, it's hard, isn't it, for a young lad coming into that kind of game. And I thought Ajax were fairly well organised that one. So He feels like a guy who probably would need a run of games to grow into what he can do, but you can't, you know, we're in such an amazing position in the league that he needs to kind of come in and hit the ground running where possible. So it might be that you go with Rodgers in midfield and say, I want a little bit more physical presence, but I think he'll go with Irogbenham in this one and just say, well, keep it really simple. We need you to break things up. We don't need you to almost cross the halfway line. Kind of in a similar role to someone like what a Dendonka would have done if he'd have been around, because I think he would have played in this game had he been still at the club.
Quite funny that we, as a fan base, as a whole, dismissed Dendonka's potential role, but he would have actually had a few games the end of this season, actually being a useful asset. Yeah,
experienced and physically, you know, can go toe-to-toe with people.
So in terms of threat, are we looking past the usual Ward-Prowse and Bowen?
Ward-Prowse and Bowen, yeah, it's got to be, isn't it, really? I've always liked, you know, Creswell, who plays wing-back. I think he's a good player. They look quite solid. You know, you look at the, not necessarily as a threat, but as some who can really influence the game. Suchek, I've always thought, is a good player. Physical,
yeah, I think
Suchek's
one of the reasons why we haven't had much joy against them in recent years.
And of course, Rice isn't there anymore, which has been a big loss for them.
Yeah, I was going to say, at least the Rice-Suchek double deep pivot is broken up now. Alvarez seems to be the man who's replaced him. I don't really... I can't remember watching much of Alvarez, actually, so I don't really have an opinion on him. Although he didn't play against Burnley. I'm not that convinced by West Ham's back four, or back line, should I say. Do you rate Zouma? I wouldn't have Zouma playing for my team, I don't think. Nothing to do with his cats kicking.
No, I mean, he's big and strong, isn't he? But I don't...
In a squad of like four centre-backs, but as your main one, I'm not 100% convinced. No.
And of course, there's the potential threat of Mr. Ings coming off the bench. You know, he kind of saved the game for them against Burnley last week. He had one disallowed and scored a late equaliser. So he can still, you know, he still knows where the goal is.
Who would you rather have though, Duran or Ings?
Ooh, I don't know. There's one to think about.
I think that was a big plus in the Ajax game. Him actually coming on, playing a good chunk of the game, and having such an impact as well.
Yeah, because he took a whack, didn't he, I think, in the first half, and I didn't know if he was going to stay on. So I think it's a positive that he got through that one.
You just feel like it's almost like you remember, oh shit, you know, you remember, oh, we actually, Duran can contribute in a positive way. It's not like he's just filling in, you know, squad filler.
And I think he'll have a role to play in this one as well, because he's, you know, physically, you kind of need those players.
Just put him on just to occupy Zouma.
And just kick each other.
You could play him like on one, you know, either side of Watkins as one of the three. Yeah. If you were thinking like Diaby might be a bit lightweight, for example. I mean, it could be a change at some stage. I don't know if he would necessarily start with Watkins and Duran playing up
top.
Yeah,
I don't know if he necessarily trusts Duran that, or if he's, you know, potentially reliable enough defensively yet.
Probably wants a bit more of a disciplined performance here, but...
Yeah, I think so.
He'll cause them trouble, like, you know, McGinn causes teams trouble. If we're just too one-dimensional and a bit too nice in our attempts to control the game, as Emery likes, we might get, as we did against Spurs, like railroaded. But with Duran, at least you give him something to think about. So, I'd imagine he might get a sniff, actually.
He'll certainly feature.
Yeah.
It's one of the more intriguing selections of the season, because we just don't know in this one.
Mom's pull panel result.
I'm going to go score draw.
I'm going to be the Grim Reaper on this one. I think we're going to West Ham will do us again, as they have done for the last eight visits. And you wouldn't be surprised. That's the problem.
No.
In fact, you're almost half expecting it without McGinn.
It's a good time for them to play, isn't it, for them, I suppose?
Yeah, and they're on the back of a good win. I mean, I'm thankful we beat Ajax in the way we did, because that team needed a boost after what happened against Spurs. So hopefully that will carry on. You know, despite being doom and gloom, you would say that you've got threats with Bailey, as long as Watkins is fit as well, because that'd be two irreplaceables out. That would be a bit too much to expect anything. But Watkins, Bailey, if Tielemans can forge an alliance with Louise in there, it's just that other... Yeah, it's the other spot, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
If you played a 4-4-2, you could play Watkins, Diaby, or Watkins, Bailey, and then have one of them as a four. And, you know, then it's Rod between Rodgers, Zaniola, and Irogbenham.
I mean, if anything, you know, you played a five against Tottenham, when we probably shouldn't have, but you could make the argument for it would probably have been more use in this one with the personnel you've got now.
Yeah.
And play a really solid back line. And he may well go for that, you know, depending on what the crack is with Carlos. Of course, you're going to have Konsa coming back in.
Yeah.
He may bring Dina in and go, actually, we need to be really solid in this one and try and nick something. So you might, I don't see this one being a very great watch, to be honest.
Because I thought in the Spurs game, you probably needed that extra midfielder because they have a good midfield.
Yeah.
And to kind of compensate with that and try to nullify them higher up. Yeah, and this one, actually, it might, we'd probably all groan if we saw five at the back, but at least you had midfielders to pick that extra midfielder. Now we really haven't. We would probably have to play a Rogmanum.
Oh, he'll play, I'm sure.
I would be tempted to just say, just stick on Ward-Prowse. Just nullify.
Well, I was the more I sort of, I'm literally looking at the their lineup right now, and it's very similar sort of way that we play. And you could make the argument for sitting someone on him and saying, well, let's try and cut the supply line to Bowen because he's just, you know, he's not a big guy.
The two things are, how good can we be without McGinn? And the other thing is, how good are actually West Ham if, you know, on a good day?
And are we going to get them on a good day?
I think if we play both full strength, both playing on a good day, I think we beat them. But there's just so many factors in this.
Yeah, yeah.
That, because you also have to think about that we did beat them quite easily at Villa Park. The scoreline fitted the game, didn't it?
Mm-hmm.
But different personnel that day. Right, well, I haven't got anything to add to that, really, if I'm being the Grim Reaper on this one.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bowl and Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bowl and Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bowlandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.